KFW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, President Trump surveyed some of the destruction caused by flash flooding 1 week ago. 121 were killed, 160 still missing. Questions remain over the lack of local warning systems. ABC's Selena Wang says FEMA maps also did not indicate the severity of risk in some areas compared to insurance maps.
This isn't just a problem for Texas, but this is an issue nationwide. For instance, with Hurricane Helene and the aftermath in North Carolina, 95% of the homes were not in the FEMA flood zone and lacked flood insurance. Nationwide, FEMA maps do not take into account the impact of torrential rain and how that can cause inland flooding.
Military shipments have resumed for Ukraine after a brief pause. Officials say U.S. military and NATO officials now discussing a plan to provide Ukraine with much-needed aerial defense weapons, including Patriot systems, funneling it through the European alliance. And parts of Pennsylvania dealing with intermittent 911 outages today. This is ABC News.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Tuition will rise for students in the Universities of Wisconsin system. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
The system is dealing with cuts from the National Institutes of Health, the biggest public funder of research in the world, plus cuts from the Trump administration and a small increase in the state budget. But as UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Minookin says, the budget also includes hiring limits.
This legislation poses quite significant challenge for us. We would become a potential poaching ground quickly, and we would be unable to recruit in some of the very high needs areas that we all view as a priority.
UW System President Jay Rothman says UW is still the most affordable public university system in the Midwest. Even then, Wisconsin ranks 44th in the nation for state higher education funding.
This was a difficult recommendation for me to make as well, because we're trying to balance understanding that the state supports one-fifth of our budget, about 20%. There was a time that it supported close to 44% of our budget. And is that...
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Washington Nationals. Manager Pat Murphy making a slight change in the lineup. He started D.L. Hall on the mound before bringing in Quinn Priester, and another pitcher, Tobias Myers, has been called up from Nashville, while Aaron Ashby is placed on the paternity list. I'll have a recap after the game. NBA in Las Vegas, the Bucks introducing their new center, Miles Turner, who talked about why he decided to leave the Pacers for Milwaukee.
For me, you know, ultimately it was about just staying competitive. 2 years ago, got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, last year we got to the finals, but, you know, being there, being part of it, winning basketball has just changed my entire perspective on this league. And, you know, John, even Doc, has assured me that, you know, winning is the top priority here.
Bucks GM John Horst.
This is a big day. Big day for the Bucks. Huge day for our city. This is a monster, impactful move and piece for us in towards doing that. And not only for this season, but seasons go forward.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high near 80. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now it's 78 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are finally on the air, ready to talk about all the things that will help us ease into a holiday weekend and make your transition that much easier. Assuming you have the day off tomorrow. We do. If you don't, is tomorrow, people don't automatically get the third off, do they?
No, I don't believe so.
I had to beg for it off, but I'm not above begging. Either way, great to have you with us here on this, our last live show until next Tuesday night. I'll be back next Tuesday night. Conrad will be back next Wednesday night. He needed an extra day off to decompress from his leisurely weekend. You got big plans?
Yeah. I'm going to see some friends in Beaver Dam.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But we're also going to, we are also going to Madison, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to stay at, funny enough, the Concourse.
The world-famous Concourse, a fine establishment.
And just tear down the night, you know, on State Street.
Where are you going to go? Where on State Street do you like to go? Have you been there recently?
This is my first time I've been able to drink, actually, and go on State Street. So,
God, you could do that. That would be like a legendary bar crawl if you just left the Concourse and walked to State Street, made a quick right, started with Paul's. Nick's, like you could go all the way down to the Union.
Yeah, and we're also doing this pedal boat thing where like it's like kind of like a bar on a boat.
Oh yeah,
and then you're sitting down at the bar seat and you pedal
on the water. Yeah. Like we see those here on the street in Green Bay, and they have them on State Street too.
Well, it's actually in the water, so it's gonna be fun to do that, I think.
Yeah,
and it's bring your own booze, so I'm bringing a cooler backpack,
okay.
And having some
brujas,
some stuff to nurse.
Nothing could go wrong when you mix alcohol with the water.
They stop in the middle, I believe, of Lake Minota.
Oh, really?
And then they're like, yeah, you can jump in if you want.
You can snorkel.
Okay. I don't know if you see much, but
maybe not. Well, that sounds like fun. I'm going to chill out. I've got a lot of family coming to town. We're going to hang out. It's going to be fun. We're going to set up a little, my sister's going to set up her outside ping pong table.
Oh.
And we set up like tomorrow since family's coming to town. I said, just come over after one. We'll have brats because we got to do one brat day a summer.
So we
figured it would be tomorrow. And we'll just keep brats going all day. You know, potato chips, potato salad, all that kind of stuff.
You know, potato
chips
salad.
Chips and guacamole. Can, yeah. Listen, I'm not a fan of it either, but. Whoever's making it, you can't say, please don't make potato salad. You just make it and you put it out there and you see what happens.
And then you just snarl at it every time you walk past it.
I give it a dirty look. You know what? Not as much as I do deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs.
I know you do. We are, you know, I think we get along pretty well, but that's a sticking point between us, the deviled eggs. I can't do it.
I think they taste amazing. I like every single type of egg, so.
You like Eggs Benedict?
Oh my God, I do.
The hollandaise sauce?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Well, that's a topic for another show, I guess. But
you don't like Eggs Benedict? Come on.
It's okay. I like most eggs. I need my eggs cooked well. I don't like runny eggs. I don't like...
Oh, see, that's where we're different. I like them runny.
Scrambled?
No, I usually don't make scrambled eggs. I usually
You're
have
talking
over
about
easy.
Like the yolk.
I usually have over easy okay. so that I can have the yolk go on bread.
People dunk toast in the yolk.
Exactly.
It's so subversive.
You know what? So you know why I do that? So I don't have to put butter on my toast.
Why? What's the matter with that?
It's just
like
not
a health thing.
Yeah, just not.
But
eating.
The yolk is not the good part of the egg, correct? Like the healthy part.
It's not terrible for you. It raises cholesterol, I think.
Probably. I mean, if you eat enough of it, but I don't know. That's a good.
I will have plain toast, nothing on it, and just dip
in the yolk.
Have the egg over easy egg on top of it.
I'm just saying, if I have to vomit, do you feel comfortable covering for a couple minutes? We got off on egg talk. You know, eggs right. should be part of the question at some point on our question of the night, because there's so much fun we could have with eggs. That came out wrong. So fun show tonight, folks. Glad you're here as we, this is the eve of the Fourth of July. It's a holiday. Holiday is in the air everywhere. Everywhere I go. Around our neighborhood. It's so funny. Like, I'm taking the day before the 4th off, but I still see other people rolling into town, and it's like they've already started, and I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. But it's like, how many days can you take off, really, leading up to the holiday?
Hey, you can take 2 weeks off. How about that?
Take whatever I want, damn it. But it's going to be, I hope everybody has great plans and will party safely this weekend. We'll be talking tonight about a lot of fun things that you can do over the next week or two, but it's specifically on the 4th of July. There's a very big movie opening today. It's the latest chapter in the Jurassic World franchise, Jurassic Park Rebirth, or Jurassic World Rebirth, is it?
It's one. You know, that's a good question.
I literally just laid down the Hollywood beat for that, and I can't remember what it was. It's Jurassic Park. You're not going to pay for the wrong movie when you go in. You're not going to end up like in the Spinal Tap re-release. If you just say Jurassic, they'll know what you mean. But that opens today. Matt Miller will be here at 6:35 tonight. Our pal, the Milwaukee film critic who does such a great job, will be here, and we'll talk about that big opening. He's seen Formula One. He's seen 28 Years Later. Matt is always fun to talk to. He will be here at 6:35. And then in hour number two, this will be fun too. My pal Wendy Schneider will be here. She is a record producer. I love saying that term. I know we don't really have records anymore. Oh, we kind of do. They're still vinyl. But Wendy is a great record producer and a great filmmaker, too. She's made a film about 10 years ago called The Smart Studio Story, which tells the story of Butch Vig and Steve Marker and how they started Smart Studios right out of Little Madison, Wisconsin, in a what's been called by Butch Vig what looks like a crack house at the corner of Baldwin and East Washington. Wendy will be here. She worked for Butch and Steve, and she made a film about all their great records that they produced at that little studio on East Wash. They produced, as I'm told, the Nevermind album for Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins records. Butch and Steve are in the band Garbage. So they produced records there as well. They don't anymore. I think it changed hands about 10 years ago, or maybe even a little more. Anyway, Wendy did a great documentary called The Smart Studio Story. It won a host of awards about 10 years ago. The Atwood Music Hall in Madison is replaying the film July 9th, I believe, 1 week from tonight. So we'll talk to Wendy about the film, take her down memory lane a little bit, get you familiarized with a great movie, a great music documentary. Our pal Frank Anderson is all over that documentary. He's played with Butch and Steve quite a bit, and he's friends with Wendy too. So that'll be another fun interview. Two great guests tonight. And we've got a good question. What do you think? Should we get to the question, or is that just crazy?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. The question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite patriotic movie or song? Pretty straightforward. I think we just posted movie on social media, but I widened it a little bit to song. And I know a lot of people pick songs that aren't typically patriotic, but they sound like they should be, like Born in the USA, Fortunate Son gets a kind of a bad rap. People think it's anti-America. It's not really. It's just like anti-filthy rich people that don't go to war. But there are a lot of great patriotic movies. There's Saving Private Ryan, Platoon, if you like the war angle. Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise is listed as a popular one. I'd have to think of that. Even Blowout. I saw the movie Blowout listed in a lot of lists because they have a firework display. That's a movie with John Travolta where he hears something. He's a sound man on a film, and he picks up a little bit of sound that leads to him being embroiled in this caper. But there are a lot of great, and you know what? You can do whatever you want, folks, with this question. Jaws can be a patriotic film because it came out 50 years ago, right before the 4th of July. What's the one I just talked about with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum? Not Enemy. I always want to say Enemy of the State. Independence Day.
Yes.
That is considered a very patriotic movie. So I really don't know what I'm going to say here. I've been thinking about this kind of on and off all day, and I forgot to finalize something right before the show. But I will give... Here's what, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to say this, and I've gone to this movie before in the past. Sandlot is my favorite patriotic movie because there's a scene in the movie with the 4th of July where they play baseball under the fireworks, and Ray Charles is singing America the Beautiful. So there you go. Sandlot is my favorite patriotic movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And for song, I'm still going to say Born in the USA because I love Springsteen and because the song is not, it's not necessarily pro USA, but it is in a way because the song kind of says, let's not get into BS wars. And that's a big thing right now, still to this day, 40 years later. So I'll say Born in the USA for my song, but you can give one or the other. And again, there are no right or wrong answers, folks. You can let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app. Or if you're watching on the stream on X, Facebook, or YouTube, let us know there as well. You got one? You know, it's kind of a pro-USA song in a weird way.
I'll say this is my favorite song.
This is a phenomenal tune.
And I would say Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, wow. You know, I haven't seen that.
It's a fantastic movie.
Clint Eastwood, right?
Clint Eastwood, Vince Vaughn's in it.
Andrew Garfield, right?
Andrew Garfield, yeah. Andrew Garfield, yep. It's a great movie. Yeah. Fantastic.
I gotta see that.
I saw it, I don't even know, probably like six years ago. And I just keep rewatching it every year because it's so good.
That's probably about when it came out, maybe?
Something around there, yeah.
Okay. So there you go, folks. That's tonight's question. Let us know what you think, and we will read your text on the radio like we do every night. I had a pretty good day overall. You ever do this though? It was raining when I left Marinette, like bad, like the sky looked like black.
Yeah.
And I'm driving on Highway 41 and I drove out of the rain and I bet my wipers were on for 20 minutes. Completely dry windshield. I must have looked like a lunatic.
I've done that. And you just like forget about it.
Totally spacing out. Yeah. I'm just looking for deer or other drivers. This is like a pleasant distraction. The wipers going back and forth. It didn't even bother me. But I do that more often than I probably should. And a lot of traffic out there, even today. Heading south.
Yeah.
I don't know where people are going. From the UP maybe or Marinette area. But and also, according to LinkedIn, I'm on a roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it says. I don't know what that means. That means they want me to up my subscription to premium, which I will not do. But I'm on a roll on LinkedIn, whatever that means. And I saw this, too. We can talk about this after the break. I sent this to you in chat. Did you see it was the best, the GOAT from every sport?
Yes, I did see that.
So I thought that was interesting. Had Jordan on there, of course, Brady. But there's one I would maybe take issue with. I don't know, like girls tennis, they had Serena Williams on there. Someone said maybe Sharapova. I just don't know enough about tennis, girl or guy, to weigh in on that.
Would you take Babe Ruth out?
I thought about that. Because Babe Ruth, I don't think he played in the league when it was totally integrated. But I have a friend who says Babe Ruth should be the GOAT because he pitched too, and he was a good pitcher. Like, he did both. But I still think if you didn't play when the league was integrated, I don't know. I'm on the fence about
that. There's another one I disagree with. Muhammad Ali. It should be Jake Paul.
We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah, oh, where can you go?
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. There is holiday cheer in the air. And I'm, of course, talking not about Christmas, but the 4th of July, right around the corner, our nation's Independence Day. Whatever you have planned, folks, have fun and party safely. We will be broadcasting on July 4th. What do we have on July 4th? We have the Best of Madison?
Yes. So
music.
It's going to be a lot of artists and some tunes that they do in studio.
Yeah, in Madison specifically. We've had some great guests there. And what else? What do you have tomorrow?
So tomorrow's just some great interviews and moments from 2025 so far.
A few laughs, yeah.
We're actually into the second half now of 2025.
Yeah. It's been a good first half. We'll try to keep the bar raised, and then next Monday I will be out too. We have another
quiz,
our favorite quizzes we've given, and we've given some pretty good ones. People have so much fun with those. It's great when they come on.
One of my favorites was the movie quiz we did about the baseball movie quiz, and that was with Heather.
She did well, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She didn't get my secret, the one that I had that was. I can't even remember who it was now.
Listen, she's a trooper. She took our friend's quiz and embarrassed herself. It was brutal. I'm kidding. But and she still came back and took another quiz. It was great. So we have, oh God, this is funny. I'm just reading these texts here. Before we get to the text, I do want to say, I don't know. I think Ali was the greatest boxer.
Really?
I do.
It's not Jake Paul?
It's not Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul might be the best boxer in his family. But I'm on the fence. What do you guys think, Babe Ruth? I don't know. I think if the league isn't integrated, it's tough to put him as the best ever. But he did pitch too. I think that's his claim to fame. I love Hank Aaron. You could probably argue maybe Ricky Henderson. I don't know. But Brady's probably the GOAT. Jordan, although there's a lot of people underneath the Jordan, said Bron and Curry. They had Steph Curry over Jordan. It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
I disagree, but.
I mean, it's for our generation, it's tough because we didn't grow up watching.
Right.
You know, so the greatest players we've seen are the ones still playing, you know.
Correct.
So you automatically are like, oh, yeah, the ones that I've seen. But I still think it's Jordan.
I mean, Scottie Pippen posted something recently, and he said, hey, congrats. It was Oklahoma that won. He said, hey, congrats. He's sitting there with his six rings. He goes, congrats, Oklahoma, on a great Game 7 win. As a guy who's never been to a Game 7, I can imagine it must have been a lot of fun. No one ever took Jordan to a Game 7, and he played against the greats of his era. Gretzky, I think he's the great one, right? Tiger Woods, again, I'm not a golfer. Is he the greatest?
He's the greatest.
He's the GOAT. Okay. And then women's tennis, I looked up. There's someone I've never even heard of. Margaret Court?
Never heard of her.
Holds the record for most Grand Slam singles titles. She might be really old. Got Martina Navratilova. Well, you guys can weigh in on that, too. I'm getting a phone call.
Excuse me.
I'm going to take this. It's spam. So, all right. We got to our question of the night is, what is your favorite or what is the most patriotic movie, your favorite patriotic movie or song? So let's get to the stream. Let's start with the stream first. Dave Akunish says, Legends of the Fall, sticking with Brad Pitt. Dave just said Legends of the Fall to a question last week. What was that? A Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, favorite Brad Pitt movie. Okay. That's a nice old country movie for patriotism. And again, folks, there are no right or wrong answers. Dave also says, All Quiet on the Western Front. John Boy crushed it. He did. It was a great movie. Due for a rewatch. I haven't seen that in ages. Rose Bauman. Hey, Rose. She says, Hi, hun. I didn't know we were on hun terms, but I guess I'll have to have Rose back on the show now. How you doing, Rose? Great to hear from you. She says, Billie Jean King should have been in the women's tennis category. And I was going to suggest her, too, because she was so groundbreaking. I just don't know enough about women's tennis or hockey or soccer to really say who the GOAT is, though. But thank you for the suggestion, Rose. Great text. And going to the text line here, we've got Aaron Zomers. This is funny. Of course, he produces wonderfully the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. He says, I'm with Con on this one. Big egg guy here.
Yes.
It's just funny to talk about eggs because they also mean, you know, other stuff.
I mean, eggs are great.
I had on my list here, on my show list for last night, I still had balls under boob and butt written on the sheet. And I always used to love when I used to leave my stand-up notes around and my wife would see, she would see something like that and go, balls under boob and butt? What is the, I'm like, first of all, you're married to a comic. You should just assume that it has something to do with that. But it's funny when other people see the list. There we go. It's catchy. Got to put deodorant everywhere. And that's not just our favorite body parts, folks, that somebody wrote a song about. It's deodorant. They're trying to encourage people, you know, to put deodorant on every square inch of their body.
When we played it the other night two times, it was stuck in my head the rest of the night. I just kept, in the like at like 9 o'clock, I just start singing, but... balls under boob and butt.
That's so crazy. I wish you were on a first date. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, do you like green eggs and ham? Sure, if they're scrambled and not runny.
I don't think they're scrambled in the story.
Tyler going, little Dr. Seuss there. Tom from New Berlin says, Band of Brothers. Great choice, Tom. Excellent. A Playtone production. Outstanding. Todd or Billy from Billy says, for movie, I say Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That was on a lot of lists today, too, when I was looking this stuff up. He says, for song, I say Rockin' in the Free World by Neil Young. That's what freedom is all about. That's great. Great text from the 414, Todd or Billy, if that is your real name. Names. Tom from New Berlin also says, Midway was so cool with CGI that it really shows the technology for the time, and it was a start in the Pacific campaign. Well said, Tom. Excellent. Oh, I love this one. 715 says, movie Stripes, song American Girl by Tom Petty. Stripes. How did I forget Stripes? Keep the text coming, folks. What's your most favorite patriotic movie or song? We're coming right back with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sing aloud because
we want to make a crowd. Yeah. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The classic saying goes, turn around, don't drown. It's catchy and it's made that way for a reason.
If they're driving and they can turn around and go to a safe location, they should do that. We don't want drivers going through any standing water.
That's Rebecca Simkowski, the director of WisDOT Bureau of Highway Maintenance. Well, thankfully, no one died in Wisconsin last year from a flood. In Illinois, three people died in a vehicle in floodwaters and one other person in Iowa. With a total of 145 people across the country just last year losing their lives in floods. And it's not always from rushing rivers overflowing their banks. Flash floods and thunderstorms can do the same.
You know, the reason for that is we don't know how deep it is. We don't know if there's any exposed say wires or anything in the waters.
But what are we supposed to do when the storm hits and we're cruising at 70 miles per hour down the highway?
So they can pull over. Sometimes you can pull under a bridge if there's no standing water there.
Be sure to have those hazard lights on and get as far over as you can to give others space because the visibility is dropped.
Call their local police department to report some of the flooded roads. And in Wisconsin, the county highways maintain state highways, so they can also call the counties to report a flooding situation.
And after you've let law enforcement know that there's an undrivable area,
they might need to close some ramps down so people aren't getting on the highway. If it's a small segment of roadway, we can put up some barricades at logical locations. If we do have a road closure, we will place that on our 511 Wisconsin system.
Which is a useful tool that even has cameras so you can see the live road conditions. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Logging and Heritage Festival July 12th and 13th on Stevenson Island. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high near 80. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Currently at 77.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday. A short week here for us at Nightlight as we go to best of episodes tomorrow and Friday and Monday as well. Conrad is taking he's taking Tuesday off too. He hates Tuesdays, but I'll be back Tuesday with the Rockin' Todd Michaels producing. That'll be fun. Tonight, we have Wendy Schneider coming on in the second hour, folks, to talk about a screening of her film, The Smart Studio Story. You have to see it if you haven't. And we will find out from Wendy where you can see it in terms of streaming, but she's going to be showing it, screening it at the beautiful new Atwood Music Hall in Madison next week. So we'll talk about this gem of a film she made and how you can find out more information. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite patriotic movie or song? And we'll get back to your texts after we talk to our pal, our good friend, Milwaukee film critic, who joins us now on the stream, Mr. Matt Miller. Hey, buddy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always fun. Do you have a favorite patriotic movie, Matt?
I really like Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm going old school. I love that one quite a bit. If we're talking modern movies, big fan of Top Gun Maverick. You know, that movie, as far as propaganda goes, it's very good propaganda.
It is. It's a kind of spine tingling. A lot of people talked about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Yankee Doodle Dandy. They were popping up all in these lists today. I have not seen Yankee Doodle Dandy, and if I did, I was very young. But
it's quite good. It's very, very jingoistic, but you know, you have a lead performance that good, you know, you're going to have a great time.
Absolutely. I was going to give a shout out too, and I guess I can do that with you here, Matt, too, because I don't know if you've been following Action Wisconsin's efforts, but I heard from my friend Nathan Deming today, who said that he was on the show a couple nights ago with Jeffrey Kurz, a fellow Milwaukeean, and apparently there was some good news today. I can't find the text from Nathan, but he said that something passed or something today, or they got it added. I know it's added or it's going to be up for debate, but I'm trying to find the...
Yeah, I know the tax credits are what you're talking about, the Wisconsin film and TV tax credits, which, you know, we'll see if this go around goes better than the last time. You know, I think, you know, it would help. It would definitely be a boon to local filmmakers and to our film industries and to the industries in the area.
Sure.
We have incredible places to film. There's no reason why people shouldn't want to film here. So it's just a great way to bring business to Wisconsin and also to give us opportunities to point at the screen and go, hey, that place is great.
Absolutely. It's a great and it's obvious. It's an obvious choice pairing it with tourism because it's a great message and a great way to get our state out there. The press release said Action Wisconsin has an official press release about the film incentives getting voted on today. If this is worth commenting on at all, he said, would you give us a shout out? I said, sure. But I didn't hear anything about that. So I don't know. But I know it was looking good to pass, so I think Wisconsin's in good shape for that, at least.
Thus far, pretty good, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
As we've seen in the news today, this past week, things getting passed left and right that we're all just super thrilled about. Just nothing but W's down the board.
So why not an Action Wisconsin tax incentive?
It'd be nice to pass something that I'd be happy about.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be nice. Same, what would that be like?
Same here. All right, so Matt, let's jump in. I'm very excited that you've seen a lot of the same films I have. What should we start with in the theater? Let's start with something that opened a couple weeks ago. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was maybe my favorite of the three. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but it was just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
Yeah, it's a very odd movie, which honestly shouldn't be that surprising. It's Danny Boyle and Alex Garland. They don't tend to make traditional movies. Even 28 Days Later is now a part of horror lexicon, but people forget at the time, you know, the big third act of that movie that stops becoming a zombie movie was very confrontational for people. And so 28 Years Later is a really fascinating approach to this story where they're like, we're going to take some big swings. We're going to make this a coming of age story. We're going to like have this strange plot. Like the story is going to be told almost in like two separate parts and boomerang back to this island. It's going to be shot entirely with iPhones, which means it's going to look absolutely vivid and gorgeous, but also still have this kind of digital fuzz to it.
Right.
So it feels like a sibling movie to 28 Days Later in that way. It's, I think it's really great. It's only marinated better the more I've sat and thought about it. It's a very odd movie. I'm not surprised that it kind of had a tough second week fall off, because it's a horror movie. Horror movies always have a hard second weekend fall off. But also it is just, if you're expecting a traditional classic zombie movie, this is not that. It is much more of a coming of age story. And then you add the final 2 minutes to the movie, which are odd and very tonally at odds. And if you don't know that they're making two more movies, you're probably very thrown off with this kind of cliffhanger that the movie ends on. And if you're not British, you super don't know what's going on. But no, I think that's a pretty tremendous movie. And it's, like I said, it's one that's definitely stuck with me.
And I agree with you. I like how it's kind of evolved. It's not just about what I think is cool about this film is it's kind of dystopian or apocalyptic or whatever. At least that's how it started out. But now this rage virus has kind of morphed into something else. And there was a character that had the virus that had a baby in the film.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute, they can reproduce. And then there's this alpha running around naked with a big prosthetic on. And it's like, that's the thing too. I don't know what is happening, but like
there's so much male nudity in this movie.
Yes.
There's so much nudity, period, in 28 Years Later. I'm kind of amazed it got through the MPAA, and that's leaving out all the violence in the movie, which it is very much a traditional zombie movie. Like, it has got a lot of crazy zombie violence plus all of that nudity. It's wild that they got this one through, but it's been a success. And like you said, it's very unconventional how it goes at things, and that this is a movie about dealing with death while surrounded by death, you know?
Yeah.
Not many apocalyptic movies take a moment to think about like what death actually means to these people and how these things impact people. I think these guys, Boyle and Garland, are very good at world building. They're very good at smartly assembling a world and a society without kind of holding your hand through it. So you get this really fascinating 28 years later, and the evolution of these zombies and the evolution of a Britain that has been isolated and collapsed. Make your own Brexit references here. It's a fascinating movie. And I think Ralph Fiennes, weirdly, I think this is one of his best performances.
That was
cool.
He
just shows up playing this like very unusual character that could totally be a misstep for the movie if played wrong.
Right.
And instead he feels like he was waiting forever to play this character. Feels so lived in. I really hope people still check it out. Especially because, like I said, we have a sequel coming next year, and hopefully we have another one directed by Boyle and with Garland writing. I know they're talking about getting the funding together for that. And this has been enough of a hit that I think they'll make it happen. But I would love to see them wrap up this new trilogy that they're making.
It's so crazy because this is the third installment. This is the end of a trilogy and the beginning of a new one. And I agree, like Ralph Fiennes, like he's like this post-apocalyptic doctor who knows how to control these zombies. And he's got like this great bedside manner, like even though he's been living on this island by himself, or the mainland, I guess, technically. But just a real fun watch. I loved it.
Yeah, it's both. It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different and something I mean, I didn't cry in the movie, but I know people who really got emotional near the end of this movie, and that's very fair. And yeah, I'm very excited to see where they keep taking this story of this collapsed society. It's kind of a new Mad Max in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited by that. They're taking that approach to this instead of, you know, when we heard they were making another 28 Days Later movie, it's like, okay, is this just a cash in, you know, are these guys just, is Danny Boyle just desperate to make another movie again, that he's going to go back to the well and make another zombie movie? And this is by no means just another zombie movie.
It's funny you say that. Like when you said people cried, I guess I had a moment. I didn't cry, but I was like, when the kid decides to go to the mainland himself, the film opens with his dad taking him there to do his first kill of a zombie. They make it back barely. That's a great scene too.
Yeah.
And then the kid decides to take his mother back to the mainland to get her medical
sick
help.
Mother, yeah.
Yeah. And it's that moment where I'm like, oh, the dad made a mistake. The kid's mad and he went back. I felt for the dad. As a dad, I'm like, oh dear, what a horrible mistake this guy would probably think he made if something had happened to the kid. But yeah, a lot of emotional stuff in the film. Really good movie.
It's a really fascinating movie about kind of the cycles of a society, and you know, that they've rebooted society and they're kind of making the same mistakes again, where they're all about kind of, you know, aggression and this masculine society that is resulting in, you know, it's really fascinating. And then he goes out with his mom and it's a much more kind of love and much more kind of thoughtful world that it could be, even in dark, horrible times. And again, I cannot also say this movie was mostly shot on iPhones and it looked obviously modified iPhones. And it looks unlike any movie you will see this year. It looks so crisp and so clean. Like the colors are so bright and there's shots, angles where the mainland of England looks like the largest landmass you've ever seen in your life and the greenest landmass you've ever seen in your life. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Matt Miller is my guest. He is a film critic from Milwaukee. You can follow his Substack at A Man About Film. And Matt, I have to say, Jodie Comer is a great, before we move on, I love her. She is so good in everything I've seen her in. She was outstanding in this. And the other comment I want to make is I read that they shot this on iPhones a couple months ago, and that never even entered my mind while I was watching. I had completely forgotten that until you said that.
Yeah, it gives the, again, it has this vivid color as a result. You also have this digital kind of fuzz to the movie. It's not as clean as you expect from like a digital movie you see nowadays. And then also you get these insanely intimate shots because Danny Boyle did this on Slumdog Millionaire. He basically took apart the camera while they were filming that movie so they could get that camera anywhere they wanted to. They wanted to make it as flexible and as intimate as they could. And with an iPhone, obviously, even easier. So you get these really incredible close-ups where you get really close to people and you get this really cool depth of frame and just different vantage points. It doesn't look like many other movies out there, which is exactly what you would say about 28 Days Later 20 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, impressive work. The cinematographer's name is Anthony Dodd Mantle. And in a just world, I would love to see him get nominated for Best Cinematography at the Oscars. But this is a movie with this much zombie nudity and this much people getting their heads ripped off. Doesn't tend to be the kind of stuff the Oscars pay attention to.
I have to, I'm going to have to figure out a way to open up this can of worms on the show, but I have an issue with all these guys all of a sudden agreeing to be nude, but using prosthetics. It seems very unfair to women over the course of history in movies with all the TNA films and that. And it's like, and now guys are doing it. It's like, what are they so afraid of? You know, it's like this false sense of who men are or something. It's so ridiculous.
Well, if you want to, it is thematic in a way, the very notable male zombie nudity in the movie, because it is about, you know, this kind of hyper masculine, this kind of out like these, you know, raging men first society. So if you want, you can say they're thematic nudity.
All right. Fair enough. And the guy's like 7 feet tall too. Matt Miller is here. We're coming right back. I'm going to ask Matt what he thought of the new Brad Pitt film F1. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday, folks, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Down. as Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Appleton Cigar Company on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 706 cigars to choose from in a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
Escape to the hidden gem of the Midwest, Chula Vista Resort. Relax with modern comforts and breathtaking views. Thrill into water parks and swing into championship golf. Savor diverse dining options. Book your summer retreat now. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Are you a puzzle lover who's ready for some friendly competition? It's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And on Sunday, July 13th, at the Barrow House at Badger State Brewing, from 1 till 8 p.m., you can join the fun that is Puzzles for Paws. It's a cat-tastic challenge that raises funds for Brewster's Place, a nonprofit no-kill cat rescue. So spend your afternoon puzzling or checking out the silent auction. Head to wgbw.fm, click events, and see where to get your tickets.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We're doing the Wednesday thing here as we head into a holiday weekend. Hope everybody's having a great night. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite patriotic film or song? And on social media, Monica Hale says, my answer involves two films because they represent the war from both sides, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. Wow, great. A lot of people going with the war stuff. I guess I could see that. It's the 4th of July. Matt, I chose...
kind of what America does. Right.
I chose The Sandlot. I went with something a little more childlike in The Wonder of Innocence, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's not too... Yeah, that's a pretty good... It could have done The Natural, too. That's a real America-coded movie. Yeah.
Anything baseball, right, I guess.
Anything baseball, yeah.
Yeah.
Moneyball, the most American movie.
Oh, there. Yes. Absolutely. Matt Miller is my guest, folks. He is a Milwaukee film critic. Check out his work at A Man About Film on his Substack. Matt, he joins us frequently here to talk movies and TV, and we always have a blast. Matt, what did you think of F1?
F1 the movie. I had a really good time with F1 the movie. It is very much every sports movie cliche. You know, we talked about baseball. It is not only every sports movie cliche, it is underlining every single sports cliche that is in the movie. There's even like a journalist character whose entire job is just to be like, the last scene featured you in a depression meltdown. Did you also know that you're divorced and you're low on your payments and all this stuff? Just like, we get it. He's down on his luck. I've never seen this plot line before.
Right.
But the thing about these sports movie cliches, and the reason why they become cliches, is because they work.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we take for granted that some of these, you know, overused tropes become overused because when you do them right, when you have them well acted, well written with a little snap to them, well filmed by a director who's bringing some energy to the stuff, these things hit. These things really get your juice going. And so I had a good time with F1 the movie. I think they do a good job of making you care about not only Brad Pitt and his protege, but the entire Pitt crew. They kind of give everyone kind of like a dime's worth of character, which is frankly more than a lot of movies give their supporting characters. Right. I think the car racing scenes are thrilling and really excitingly captured. It's the director of Top Gun Maverick, and he's using a lot of the same tricks he used with that movie to really feel like, make you put you in the seat of these cars. I had a good time with it. It is a classic summer sports movie, the way that we kind of don't really get as much anymore.
You know, now that you say all that, I'm kind of not rethinking, but you're absolutely, maybe I was expecting too much, but I felt like you're right. The racing scene's amazing. The music was good, but it was wall to wall. I mean, this was to me, Matt, this was a video, not really a movie. Like there's some character stuff. And I like what you said, like when they go into some of the minor characters, you get a dose of it. That's all you need. And the kid was good. Brad Pitt, I don't know. I like Brad Pitt, but I just, something didn't work for me. And you said Top Gun. I felt like that story was better than the story here. And maybe it was just because I have seen all of these kind of tropes before. It was like Bull Durham meets, Hoosier, not Hoosiers, that's a bad example, but it's like they took a little bit from every sports
Thunder
movie.
And
yes,
all the
exactly.
Movies. Yeah.
But it's fun. I'm being overly critical. It's a fun summer watch. And for the racing stuff alone, it's pretty exciting.
I don't think that's being overcritical. Like it is very cliche. It is very kind of trite in the story and the way it moves and stuff like that. You're not going to be surprised by much in this movie, but there is something very satisfying about a movie that knows how to set up bowling pins in terms of a story and knows how to knock them down well and knows how to, you know, knows how to get a strike. And that's kind of what this is. It's not, it is very flashy, but when it comes to the story, it is profoundly not flashy, but they save the flash for the kind of exciting parts. Right. And then you've got really good stars. And also, I got to say, Carrie Condon, just a charmer and
she's
a half.
She's great.
She's the female lead of the movie, and she is so charming. And I honestly think she helped. Their romance is kind of one of the weaker points of the movie, just because it feels very much like checked that off the
you don't need it. Yeah.
cliche list. Exactly. But she sells it because you're like, yeah, I get immediately falling in love with this person. She's so charming and so fun in this movie. So and yeah, I agree. This isn't a top five Brad Pitt performance by any means, but he's a movie star. He is one of those people who, when he's on screen, you're like, I want to see what you're up to.
Right.
And that is what this movie needs. And for that, it delivers. Again, if it gets nominated for Best Picture, we had a bad year at the movie. Right. But if you're looking at, you know, a good time at the summer box office, I think F1 is a really nice, good time. It's a good dad movie.
That's very well said. And I, you know what, who I liked, who I almost forgot was in it, was Javier Bardem ups the level of, he was great.
Every single line he delivers is like maximum scene stealer. And not in a, like a way where you're like, okay, pump the brakes, buddy. Like there's other people in this movie. He just shows up with so much charisma. He did the same thing in Dune Part 2. Man, that movie, you get your money's worth per second he is on screen. He's so good. Yeah. And again, a role that could be totally boring and generic. And he just brings so much life to it. And that's kind of F1 in a nutshell. could have been totally generic, especially as a brand movie, especially in a movie that is a 2.5 hour long advertisement for F1 racing. I think they do a very good job of making it not feel generic, not feel sanded down. It feels energetic. It's got some juice.
Absolutely. All right, Matt Miller is here, folks. We're gonna keep Matt through the news because he is watching a TV show that you have to hear about. I've watched the first episode, and I trust Matt's opinion so much, I'm going to go back to it. It's not that I didn't like it, but it's not my typical show, but I am going to go back to it based on Matt's critiquing of the show. We'll talk about that after the news, and we'll get a little July preview of what's coming up at the box office as well with our pal Matt Miller. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The Air India crash report released to the public, 260 people killed seconds after takeoff. The report says that just 3 seconds after takeoff, the fuel cutoff switches for both engines went from the run position to the cutoff position. They then went back to the run position 10 seconds later, but the engines couldn't recover in time. Discussion between U.S. and NATO officials about a possible plan to provide Ukraine with aerial defense weapons, including Patriots, the U.S. would sell them to NATO, which would then provide them to Ukraine. President Trump and the First Lady visiting the devastation in Kerrville, Texas, after the deadly flooding in the state.
The people here, first responders, the sheriff's office, all of the police, law enforcement, they've done an unbelievable job.
At least 121 people have died. The State Department